Morning, ladies and gentlemen. First case for argument, Boeing versus UAW. Mr. Kilberg.
Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is William Kilberg. I am here representing Appellant Boeing Company. With me today is my colleague, Paul Blankenstein. Boeing has appealed the district court's decision confirming an arbitrator's award where the arbitrator ignored the terms of the collective bargaining agreement.
What do you think, what kind of remedy do you think the arbitrator could have ordered?
The arbitrator could have ordered the parties, could have ordered that the employees be treated as laid off and that the employees file claims with the plan administrator.
Yeah, but they wouldn't get anything, right?
Well, that's to be determined, but assuming that that the plan...
If they don't get anything, then there's no remedy ordered by the arbitrator, right?
No, because there is an appeal if they don't like the decision of the plan administrator. There is an appeal to either state or federal court.
But the substantive conclusion of that appeal is a foregone conclusion. It's a procedural remedy empty of any substance.
No, I don't believe that's true, Judge Sykes. It's a to be sure there is deference given to the plan administrator, but it is not a foregone conclusion as to what the decision of a court might be.
Well, is there any substantive argument for an award of benefits if they're not plan participants?
If there isn't, and if that's the decision of the Court of Appeal, either the state or the federal district court, then that's what the parties bargained for.
The arbitration was completely empty. It had no effect, no consequence.
No, well, first...
You sent it to it, now you have this argument which nullifies it.
Your Honor, the arbitrator was able to award seniority rights to these employees. Those seniority rights have meaning. Those are exercisable. He can also order, as he started to, he ordered them to go to the plan administrator because he understood that he had no choice in that regard.
Seniority rights that these people have?
The seniority rights that bring with them various rights to...
They're working for Spirit now. What rights do they have against Boeing?
Well, they have rights to come back to Boeing in other positions. Boeing still has operations in Oklahoma and obviously has operations elsewhere.
You're saying the people who are working for Spirit could quit Spirit and go back and work for Boeing?
They could.
Well, what do you mean they could? Are there vacancies in these?
In fact, there are some individuals, not all of these individuals.
Hiring? Is it in these other places in Oklahoma?
Are you
hiring in other places in Oklahoma?
There are positions which...
Answer my question.
Yes, Your Honor. In fact, it is my understanding that there have been people who have been recalled from among those who did... Who were treated as resigned, which is part of the group here.
They work for Spirit, and then they're recalled to Boeing? Is that what you're saying?
These were individuals who had resigned, so they had not actually gone to work for Spirit.
But my question was about Spirit, whether the ones who went to work for Spirit can be recalled and go back to work for Boeing.
They can.
If there are vacancies.
If there are vacancies. They can use their seniority to compete for those positions.
Is that why you didn't challenge the 2008 arbitrator's award?
That's correct. To challenge the 2008 award would have been to challenge the arbitrator's interpretation. In this instance, the language is clear. The plans are incorporated into the collective bargaining agreement. The plans provide specifically that the plan administrator has sole discretion to make decisions with regard to plan benefits.
So the affected employees are receiving a benefit of sorts from the 2008 award designating them as laid off as opposed to terminated by divestiture.
That's correct.
And our focus here is just those legacy rights that they have to lifetime health care, et cetera.
Well, the rights that they have are themselves in the employee benefit plans. They have no rights short of the rights which are in the incorporated plans. If those plans are not incorporated into the collective bargaining agreement, then there's nothing to debate over, because the early retirement and retiree medical benefits derive from the same plans. If the plans are incorporated, then they provide an exclusive procedure.
But are you saying these people, take the ones who were hired by Spirit and then Boeing transferred their retirement assets to Spirit? Right?
Yes.
Now, are you saying that these people lost nothing as a result of this transfer?
That is correct. They lost nothing that they didn't have before.
Nothing you had before.
They
Spirit's plan isn't as generous as Boeing's.
Well, with regard to the Boeing plan, their assets and liabilities were transferred to Spirit. That plan is frozen. All of the benefits they had accrued to date remain. They do not have, in Boeing's view, they do not have the right to these early retirement and retiree medical benefits.
The arbitrator says they do, and he wants Boeing to pay the difference between what they'll get as Spirit employees and what they would have gotten if you hadn't transferred their assets to Spirit. Right? Isn't that what he's ordering? Well, what's wrong with that sense?
Well, what's wrong with it is that the arbitrator is not authorized, has no authority to order that relief.
Why? He's ordering against Boeing. He's not ordering against the trustees of the Boeing retirement plan.
But there's no... Boeing has no obligation.
The arbitrator says he has an obligation. That's his remedy, because he violated the... Look, there has to be a remedy, a punishment, for your having violated the collective bargaining agreement. That's all he's doing, right? You've violated the collective bargaining agreement. As a result, these workers are worse off, and so he wants Boeing to pay the difference so that they'll be as well off as they would have been if you hadn't transferred their retirement assets.
But there's no certainty that because the employees were classified as terminated. In other words, if the employees had been classified as laid off, they still would have had to apply for benefits.
There's no certainty about anything. The arbitrators made a judgment. You made these people worse off. You have to pay to make them whole. That's the whole case.
But, Your Honor, this is really no different than if you had a provision in the collective bargaining agreement that said, in the case of wrongful termination, that back wages may not be ordered or awarded, rather, by the arbitrator, may only be awarded by a court. In those instances, even though the arbitrator may feel that back wages is essential to full relief...
What is there anywhere to say that Boeing can't be ordered by an arbitrator but only by a court to make up this difference? As I say, it's not an order against the trustee, if there is a trustee of the Boeing retirement plan. It's an order against Boeing.
But it's an order against Boeing, Your Honor, based upon the assumption that there are benefits to be awarded. Those benefits have to come from somewhere.
Comes from out of Boeing's pocket. It's not benefits, it's damages.
Well, the case...
That's your problem. You don't understand that. It's not an order about benefits, an order about damages.
There was no testimony before the arbitrator with regard to damages. The union's position was that these were benefits. They've shifted their position somewhat as we've gotten to the Court of Appeals, but their position below was that these were benefits, and that the remedy that they were seeking was specific performance. There has to be something to perform, something in the collective bargaining agreement that would be the performance. The only thing that's here is the incorporated plans. Once you incorporate the plans and provide benefits under the plans, you've also incorporated procedures under the plans. That's the sum and substance.
The benefits that the affected employees get are coextensive with what they would have gotten under Boeing's plan, except it comes not out of the plan assets, but out of Boeing's pocket. Is that basically it?
Well, I'm not sure I understand Your Honor's question. The arbitrator did issue an order as against Boeing, but this...
What, I guess my question goes to the scope of the benefits that they're entitled to claim against Boeing if the plan, as it inevitably will, denies their claim for benefits because they're no longer participants.
If the plan denies their... I appear to be going to my rebuttal time, but let me try to answer your question, Your Honor. If the plan is in effect as it is, then the participants, the employees, the affected employees, will be entitled to such benefits as the plan administrator awards them. And if the plan administrator does not award them these particular benefits, and a court upholds the plan administrator, that in effect is the deal that the parties agreed to in the collective bargaining agreement. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Kilberg, Mr. Nicholson.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'd like to start by correcting some misstatements of the record that have been made either in reply brief or on oral argument here. This is my only opportunity. First of all, there are no other facilities covered by this collective bargaining agreement in Oklahoma that these people can go to, and for that I cite Appendix 21, footnote 2, which is the arbitrator's award, in which he notes there are certain other facilities in California where they can go. Secondly, in the reply brief that Boeing filed on page 17, they say at the end of the first carryover paragraph, you can read this in context, but I have limited time. In order to secure these rights, the UAW agreed with Spirit that the transferred assets would fund the mere pension plan established by Spirit for those UAW members who become employed by Spirit, and it cites docket entry 4619 at 5. That docket entry is a unilateral Spirit summary plan description that says at that same page that was cited, page 5, that it's effective June 16, 2005. The Spirit UAW collective bargaining agreement didn't become effective until October 28, 2005. What happened was Boeing and Spirit agreed in the asset purchase agreement that the transfer would happen. It became effective immediately upon closing. Boeing and UAW and Spirit could not reach a collective bargaining agreement. When they did reach a collective bargaining agreement, contrary to Boeing, there is no mention of the frozen Boeing plan in that agreement. To the contrary, at docket entry, Spirit working permit. Docket entry 46-20 is the Spirit agreement. At page 87, beginning at 87 of that agreement, there is a section, an Article 16, called Group Insurance and Retirement Plans. The only retirement plan that's mentioned in there is a different retirement plan, not the one that received the Boeing assets, for future service only. That's all the agreement speaks to. Doesn't speak to the transferred Boeing plan. So there's no evidence in the contract that Boeing repeated that. And in addition, at page 118 of that Spirit UAW agreement, there's an Exhibit C that says benefits. The parties have agreed to provide a retirement plan carrying on. One, a retirement plan. The only one that was agreed to was the future service plan. Boeing has misstated the record. They did this before in the simultaneously filed briefs that we filed after the hearings that led to the 2008 award. In fact, if you look at the and what they did there was they cited an earlier version of a draft Spirit UAW agreement that did mention the Spirit or the transferred Boeing plant. But that was withdrawn when we objected that that was not the final agreement. The final agreement is contained at docket entry.
What is this relevant to? I've lost the thread.
Their argument, Your Honor, is that we can't be held to complain about, heard to complain about the transfer of assets because we agreed to it. They cited a document before the arbitrator that wasn't in the record, that was withdrawn because it wasn't the Spirit.
They said you didn't object rather than that you agreed.
Well, I think the language that I read from that brief, the reply brief, said, in order to secure these rights, this is page 17 of the reply brief, the UAW agreed with Spirit that the transferred assets would fund the Mirror pension plan. That's a bald misstatement of the record. They made that misstatement to the arbitrator when we didn't have a chance to reply because we filed simultaneously briefs before the award. Before the arbitrator, we pointed out the error.
What about the argument Mr. Kilberg said that all you've sought was specific performance of the agreement, that you're just looking for benefits under the Boeing plan, you're not looking for award of damages from Boeing?
The best place to look in the record about if we're arguing about what we sought is in the briefs that we filed with the arbitrator, and those are in 46-1, docket entry 46-1, docket entry 46-6, docket entry 46-8, and 46-9.
What does it say?
It says essentially our position has been that Boeing.
It says essentially our position has been.
No, it says Boeing. I'll be direct. I'm sorry, and thank you for helping me. It says Boeing terminated the people it should have treated them as laid off. Number one, it said Boeing promised in Articles 22 and 23 of the agreement to maintain and apply its benefit plans to our members as provided in those articles. And it said those are promises in the collective bargaining agreement, not in the benefit plans. And that, we submit, is the natural reading of that language. But even if the arbitrator was wrong, because he accepted that position, even if he misinterpreted those under the precedent of this court that we've cited in our brief, we prevail because he was interpreting the contract. He only ordered relief against Boeing, not against the Boeing benefit plan.
Are you saying it's a breach of contract suit against Boeing, and the remedy is a contract remedy? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely clear that it's a contract remedy. I also feel obligated to tell the court there's been some skirmishing in the footnotes about whether Boeing's already not in compliance and contempt or whatever. There are further proceedings ongoing right now in front of the arbitrator, and we have to actually file letter arguments with him on March 4. So there's an argument about where we apply. Boeing says we have to go through all the internal appeal procedures set out in the plan. We say no. What the arbitrator meant is you have to apply, and if in the normal way you do, and if you're turned down, then you get Boeing has to pay. And what Boeing has done since the award came down is they've shut off the gateway that the summary plan descriptions, for example, say you have to go to apply for benefits. They won't let people apply in the normal way that they've established, that their plan has established.
How many employees? It was a little unclear. How many employees actually are going to be applying for these benefits as in accordance with the arbitrator's order?
Boiling it down, there are two different groups. One is a set of all employees who were laid off, who the arbitrator found were laid off, that Boeing had terminated or treated as resigned. Each one of those, according to the award, is entitled to 13 additional weeks of credited service. Boeing told the district court it wasn't challenging that. As we noted in one of our footnotes in brief, Boeing seems to be waffling on that. But that applies to everybody. Okay. There's a smaller group, somewhere between 150 and 200 people, that, and I apologize, I don't have the exact number, but that is a group of people who are, as to which there are two very identifiable features. The first is that they were age 50 on the closing date, June 16, 2005, easy to identify. The second is that they had 10 years of pension service on that date. Those people are entitled to retire early at 55 with a Boeing pension, basically an advantaged early retirement pension. And it can take several different forms depending on options
so
you elect.
Well, some of them are working for Spirit, some not. Is that how we're...
That's right.
So it does, but it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter that it... That's right.
Except you deduct their Spirit
benefit. The only thing that matters vis-a-vis their employment at Spirit is the arbitrator, to avoid a windfall,
right,
had this offset. But other than that, it matters not.
Is there a priority in that payment?
Pardon me?
Is there a priority established in that payment? Who pays first, Sprint or Boeing?
In which agreement, Your Honor?
This set-off. I'm not quite clear on how this set-off is
supposed
to operate.
Oh, in the arbitrator set-off? Frankly, I've read that, and I'm not clear on that. And that may be something that the arbitrator will have to address. One of the things we've asked, I've read the cases from this court about interim appeals from arbitrators and so on. I actually thought I would be asked about that, but I just have to say this, that in thinking about that and in thinking about what we did in this case, I note that the awards both provide that the arbitrator retains jurisdiction. Part of what was confirmed is that retention. So those issues, like this issue of application where they're skirmishing in the footnotes, are in the first instance for the arbitrator to decide. If he thinks they're enforcement issues, he can tell us to go to the district court and enforce.
Actually, most of these 200 people are currently employed at Sprint, isn't that right?
Spirit, I'm sorry. Yes, I've done the same thing. That's what my cell phone carrier is, so I think that's what I do. But most of them are. Some people who Boeing treated as resigned because they chose not to apply for a job at Spirit, and the arbitrator said, no, they're laid off too, and they have the same benefits. Since their assets weren't transferred over to Spirit on the pension side, they would get the benefit. I want to make clear there are two plans here. All the discussions about the pension plan, but actually the more weighty, costly benefit and what we think is driving this fighting in court and
et cetera, lifetime health insurance,
is the retiree insurance. Right. Those assets were not transferred. In the record, there is the contract documents that are in the record we submit don't have any provision at all that even arguably ousts the arbitrator from jurisdiction. The arbitrator asked us whether there was a history of arbitrary grieving on those issues, and we said yes, and in fact in the supplemental proceedings we provided him with evidence of that. But I just want to say those assets were not transferred. Boeing cites to 12.6 of the pension plan as the reason why we have to go through the claims procedure. That's just applicable to the pension plan, and even there, if there's a savings clause that says that doesn't mean if there's something that's arbitrable under the collective bargaining agreement, you can't arbitrate it. Frankly, it is our position, as set forth in all our papers, that the UAW has the right to arbitrate claims that include, in this case, that they didn't follow their promises in Articles 22 and 23 of the agreements to maintain the plan. In our brief, we cite other cases where the courts, this circuit, other circuits, have distinguished between a claim for a filled tooth that should have been covered versus a claim that you're not covering a class of employees when you promise that they would be covered. Those promises, the arbitrator read those promises as existing in Articles 22 and 23 of the contract, not the benefit plans. And I think that's a fair reading. Even if it's not, this court is bound by it. We're bound by it. Boeing is bound by it. So we think that there was power to resolve these issues. And there's no 12.6 for the insurance plan. That straight out is a contract violation. There's a supplemental agreement about insurance. It says people who get a pension will get retiree insurance. There's no argument at all that that is not arbitrable and remediable in the way there is, even given these other arguments, which I think also lack merit about the pension plan. Boeing elides the two, but the record unelides them because there are different contractual documents.
What's the status of the transferred pension assets? You told us that the CBA between Spirit and the UAW doesn't mention benefits plan?
Employers are not required to have a collective bargaining agreement to maintain a pension plan.
So those assets did go to fund a plan.
It's there. People can claim benefits under it. I think the arbitrator recognized that. in the way he crafted that non, you know, the provision that allowed, that disallowed a windfall. You know, it's there, and I don't think it can be transferred back. Frankly, there are provisions like Section 204G of ERISA, which aren't in this case, that prevent benefits from being cut back. Essentially, what has happened now is Spirit has, with these assets, promised people pension benefits, has integrated it with this going forward plan in its promises, and it can't be undone. And Boeing hasn't suggested that it can be undone. We haven't suggested that. We asked for contractual relief against Boeing because they're the employer who made the promises to treat these people as laid off and provide them with benefit coverage so long as they were employees, laid off employees. This is really, as we say, a simple case. But what this case shows is that an abuse, we haven't asked for attorney's fees so far. But what I think this case shows is an utter abuse of the arbitration process, and we've converted something that should be a relatively straightforward matter into years of litigation. And that is not right. That is not what the parties agreed to. Boeing, as this court has said, and as we quoted in the lead end to our argument, this court has warned lawyers for employers that their employer client does not have to enter into an arbitration agreement, but if it does, it has to live up to it. And that's what we ask this court to find. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Nicholson. Mr. Kilberg, how much time does he have? 4 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Nicholson talked about the transfer of the assets. There is a specific provision in the retirement plan, Section 16.3, which permits Boeing to transfer assets and liabilities. And we obviously disagree with the union. The union did negotiate with Spirit and did accept the transfer. They did accept they negotiated the new employee benefit plan and the relationship between the two plans. But be that as it may, the union never objected to the transfer of the assets and liabilities because most union members benefited from that transfer. Secondly, Mr. Nicholson talked about the distinction between...
It's an issue for the arbitrator, right?
No, Your Honor, I believe it's not an issue for the arbitrator. The arbitrator ignored Section 16.3 of...
Whether the union agreed to this... That would be issue for the arbitrator, right, where the union agreed to a transfer?
That issue was not before the arbitrator, because the union never objected.
Why are you arguing it to us?
I'm responding to Mr. Nicholson,
It's a brief, so he must have thought it had some pertinence to something.
Our view, as I indicated earlier, Honor, is that the plan is incorporated into the collective bargaining agreement. And the company was, by complying with the plan, the company is complying with the collective bargaining agreement.
Well, that's an argument for the arbitrator. You're saying he mistakenly interpreted the contract. What does that have to do with the appeal?
Because in this instance, Your Honor, there's the explicit provision.
He looked at the collective bargaining agreement, made an interpretation. If it's right or wrong, we don't review the correctness of the arbitrator's interpretation. We just make sure that he is interpreting the contract rather than making up something out of thin air.
But as this court has said, Miller Brewing and other cases, Your Honor, the arbitrator cannot ignore the terms of the collective bargaining agreement.
What does it have to do with whether there was an agreement between Spirit and the union? That's not part of the collective bargaining agreement.
That's correct. That is not part of the collective bargaining agreement.
My point went to the transfer. Appeal. I don't know how it's gotten into the appeal then.
My point went to the transfer of the assets and liabilities. Mr. Nicholson also mentions that no assets were transferred with regard to the medical plan. That's true. There are no assets in the medical plan that's funded out of current assets. Mr. Nicholson made reference to a very important provision in the plan, Section 12.6. Section 12.6 does permit the arbitrator to decide these cases if the parties agree. The union has never asserted that the parties agree. There is no evidence that the parties have ever agreed. And refer the court to the...
Agreed to what?
Agreed that the arbitrator, rather than the plan administrator, would make these decisions. I refer the court to this court's decision in Waukesha Engine, where the court noted that the incorporation of an employee benefit plan presumes that all of the procedures in the employee benefit plan are extant and that arbitration is not the manner by which disputes under the plan are to be resolved.
I think that's only relevant if this is conceptualized, if this award is conceptualized as an award of individual benefits claims as opposed to a class-wide remedy for the affected employees. What's wrong with that interpretation?
This was the arbitrator does not describe his award, nor was, as I indicated earlier, nor were damages sought. This is really no different, as I indicated earlier, than the situation where there is an explicit prohibition in the collective bargaining agreement on the arbitrator providing certain relief. That's the situation that we have here.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Kilberg. Mr. Nicholson. The next case for our